Faith here with your welcome toast. I choked on a carrot this afternoon, and all I could think was, I bet a donut wouldn't have done this to me. It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to eat, drink, and be merry with us. We're in our culinary studio, we call it, at the Big G, Gateway Community College in downtown New Haven. Five kitchens. Gigantic
love that.
Kitchens in their culinary program here at Gateway. And we have the use of all of them on this show. It's an absolutely remarkable experience to be here and to be with these students and this faculty. It's an unbelievable place. Very exciting. Okay, my treasured food buddies are here, plus our returning special guest who does food that just knocks me out. The treasured food buddies, as you know, senior contributors Chris Brosberry, Alex Province, Mark Raymond. We have senior producer Robin Doyen Aiken here, and our guest returning would be...
Drum roll, please.
Yes, Prasad. Now, I always say Chernumula, but when you say it, it's a little different. You say Chernumula.
Chernumula.
I got to learn it.
I got no mula. Chernumula.
That's a good way to remember.
Oh, there you go.
Chernumula.
Chernumula. Chernumula. Okay, so Prasad Chernumula is chef and owner of a restaurant at Blueback Square in West Hartford. It is called India. I'm a little mad at West Hartford because they stole him from New Haven.
Oh.
And he is now in this fabulous place, and the food that this man makes is so incredible. Honestly, it is the best Indian food I've ever had in my life.
Don't worry, Faith. We're taking good care of him up in the northern part.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right, Alex?
He's 2 minutes away.
Yeah. Don't you worry. We got this.
Absolutely.
We got takeout last Thursday.
I'm so angry, honestly.
Hopefully they'll come back.
We're lucky he's on the... Oh, okay. We're lucky he's on this show. You know, we could make a space for you right here in the studio.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
In one of those five kitchens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could call it a pop-up and we could do a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello. We're kind of going to go kind of India crazy on this show. You know, we like to do different cultures on the show and experience the food. That's the way we eat now. And we learn about things. Now you go into a major supermarket and they have aisles that say, this is the Indian section. This is Britain. This is all the Asian, Chinese one. This is how we eat.
International.
Yeah, international. Yeah. It used to be a small area called international.
Yes.
Now there are aisles in supermarkets. We're going to feature later in the show this cookbook. It's called Bollywood Kitchen, and it's about Indian recipes that you can make, but very accessible, and you can make in your own kitchen very easily, probably from what you've got in the pantry. And then an explanation of all the most popular Bollywood films. We're going to talk all about it. We've got a little music to get you in the mood. But anyway, so that's coming up, including these Bollywood burgers that are going to just knock you out.
Amazing.
I know. Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple things I want to do. First, I want to talk to Prasad a little bit about how he just made us a dish in one of the kitchens here at Gateway. And we all stood and watched. We videoed
it. Let's put that video on Facebook.
Well, we're going to try to see if we, how does it come out? Did it come out?
Might make you
quality level.
Might make you travel sick if I move the camera too much.
You know what it is? We had to put the overhead fan on. It was so loud. You can't quite hear Prasad saying what it is he's putting in the pan. One thing after another after another.
I got him.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. We're going to put it up there, Alex. Thank you. So, Chef Prasad, what part of India are your parents from?
They're from Hyderabad, India. Southern part of India.
Hyderabad.
Yes.
Okay, southern. So is that near Kerala, where the seafood comes from?
It is pretty much down south, where you have Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and Hyderabad. And also, Hyderabad got its own Tollywood. Now, you heard about Hollywood, then Bollywood.
Yeah.
You have Tollywood. Tollywood is one of the biggest movie-making industry in India itself. So it probably closer, if not beats Bollywood, too. It's called
it
Tollywood.
It does not. I've never heard of this.
It does. It does.
Oh, my goodness. I see the pride in your face right now. I see I see you looking kind of competitive, too.
Yeah.
and the food is fabulous, of course, from Hyderabad.
How's the dancing?
You
of
know,
course it is.
I do. I love. Oh, from Hyderabad.
From Hyderabad.
You know, so, wait, so you open Indian restaurants, and
yes.
So you've got India in West Hartford. How did you decide which food? It would be like me saying I'm going to open a restaurant called United States. Because we're talking about a gigantic territory in India, every piece different. How did you decide which Indian regions you were going to represent?
Well, I mean, I first go with what I like, because that's very important to me. You know, if I can like the food, if I can eat the food, I think you can eat that too. So I like to go off the regular restaurant scene and say, like, you know what, I want to go regional this time. I don't want to go, like, you know, people only like tandoori chicken, and that's what I'm going to stick to. Like, in fact, when I started my reorganizing menus, my own staff sometimes, my managers, it could be, they're like, Prasad, are you sure you're going to put your mom's chicken curry on the menu? Guess what? It is equivalent to any of the chicken tikka masala I sell now. My mom's chicken curry, it's on my menu, and it probably outbeats every single day.
Now,
and it's
yummy. If I had to walk from New Haven to West Hartford to get to your restaurant to eat that dish, doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh, my, I love.
I'll come and pick you up.
I love good.
You don't have to walk.
Bicycle.
You know what I like, too, though?
Is I that could use the exercise.
He does a cauliflower, Manchurian. Again, that's another region, right? So you get food from all over the place, and it's not yet your standards. And whenever I go there, I try something new, and I'm always blown out of the water.
Yeah.
It is by far, like, one of my happiest places.
So you made a dish for us, and there were about 20 containers on the counter here at the sort of cafe studio. We're going to be doing some shows with an audience in this cafe right here at Gateway. To get tickets, it'll be free. We're going to demo recipes and teach you how to do things and just have a great time with you. So we were just in this Cafe Vincenzo, where they have these wine dinners that the culinary students help prepare, and it's fabulous. So, Prasad, 20 containers on the counter, a big fry pan with some oil in it. You and one of your containers had blue crab.
Yes.
What were the other ones? I saw salt. I saw my favorite Indian spice,
asafoetida.
What'd you call me?
Asafoetida.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. And you
it's
had
got
onion.
Turmeric, red onions. It had tomatoes. It had mustard seeds, green chili, red chilies, curry leaves. Now, everybody, not many people know what curry leaf. They all know curry powder, which I don't use that in my kitchen. But curry leaf gives you a great flavor to that oil or whatever food you're cooking with. And I had some nicely chopped garlic. And fresh chopped ginger. And you saw the dish, how quickly it was made. It was literally, if the prep is done, thanks, Chris, for doing all the prep. You know?
5 minutes.
Not even. Just
literally 5 minutes. It's fresh food. It's nice. I mean, it's all made to order. Every single thing is cooked on that pan every single time, freshly done.
And that rice you brought us was special.
I always
love
this rice.
That's the great
rice. Tell us about the rice, because that rice
is my favorite.
Heaven.
Yeah, I mean, basmati rice to begin with itself is a great quality rice.
But you cook it in
rice.
A different way,
I
right?
totally do it different. Yeah. I'm from Hyderabad, and we are kings of biryani. Biryani is you take your either meat or vegetable or seafood, whatever you're trying to do, typically done with goat meat. You marinate with yogurt and spices, and you actually take that marinated meat and take the raw rice. So raw meat, raw rice cooks together, and it's like meal in one.
You steam it.
You steam it. Slow cooked.
Wow.
Yeah. Do I remember reading that that was the royal dish? They really were royal
families. It is a very royal dish, and it's a dish made. It's in one pot, whether it's vegetables, meat, whatever you have. It's all you need is one dish.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Man.
Mm. How did tandoori chicken become such a thing in what I would call Indian or Indian-American restaurants? Why did that become a thing?
It's very popular in the northern part of India, you know, whether even typically even in Afghanistan and people in countries like that. But India had this tandoori food, which you can literally take any kind of meat, whether it's beef, whether
shrimp.
It's shrimp, fish, chicken, lamb, You marinate, skewer it. So its searing is done beautifully.
It's like a yogurt marinade, maybe?
A lot of that is yogurt marination, and some are not.
And the yogurt breaks down the tissue in the meat.
It does yogurt, the
meat.
Mango powders, what we use, and the seasonings, what we use. We all use all natural ingredients.
But it's the oven that's the trick,
oven.
Right?
Well,
it's that clay oven.
Oven is probably the 50% on that.
Yeah.
But remember, I came to your house for dinner one time. It was one of the treats of my eating life. And Prasad has one of those in his
backyard.
You have
one in your house?
I still have it.
So he puts he put the bread
in
the thing
God.
with the I call it a grabber stick, and he's turning it around down there, and then it came out, and there it was. I was just beside myself. I thought,
you stick your hand in that oven. I'm blown away. How hot
like
is it?
Being in India,
600, 650, and then these breads are done typically in 30, 40 seconds, and naan bread comes out of the oven so fresh,
Wow. Love it.
In West Hartford, you have that oven.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah.
So in New York. Well, if I'm anywhere near you, I go to. I go to you. If I'm in New York, where would you go to eat Indian food?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of friends, so obviously I do go to Lexington area, Lexington Avenue, where there's Indian Hill, Indian spices.
I call it Curry Hill.
Curry Hill. So you have a lot of good restaurants. Over time, they change a lot. I mean, back in 20 years back, it was like one or two, but now you have like lines of restaurants. All of them are very good restaurants, but. I especially go to one in the Flatiron District, which is a Michelin star restaurant called Junoon. It's owned by a good friend of mine.
How do you spell that?
J-U-N-O-O-N. And Junoon means passion.
Okay.
And the restaurant is done with a lot of passion.
Wow.
And the owner and the chef are buddies of mine. And we always hang out and a great meal there all the time.
Really? I'm writing that down. Okay.
Put that on the next to visit list.
Right. Well, we were dazzled by Prasad's instant fresh crab meal that he did for us with these all the fresh
coconut. How simple was that? So it's called moili, M-O-I-L-E-E.
Yeah.
And moili is anything, especially seafood, crab or fish or shrimp. And this dish actually comes from Kerala. I have my own version of doing that, but you saw how simple that is, and the flavors are so good.
Yeah.
The coconut milk in that makes it
really
tough.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot that.
Coconut.
So, this is an interesting thing where I would say that the overlap, if you start thinking about other cultures and how they do similar things, I love to do that. And I think, this reminded me when you were had 20 containers out. I thought, I've seen Mexicans do this. Then I thought, I've seen the Chinese do this, where they're taking fresh things.
Yeah.
In goes the garlic. In goes the chopped onions. In goes the,
that
the
layering of flavor.
The French, doing the...
The mirepoix.
It just
shows you we're all the same.
Yeah.
It is.
Really,
it is.
Food
is
one of those things.
I say it's a spice trail, because I even see it in Spain, and then it just kind of follows a spice trail
but
along.
It's more than that. We all do it the same. It's funny because we fight, we argue, we do all these things, but really, when you watch someone cook like Prasad,
we all love to eat.
You're just like, wow, I do that too, and I don't do Indian food, but we are all the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see this, work this way and to break bread with other people and to just sit around and try these flavors. Oh, it's most fun.
So I have a question. My friend John, my Indian friend, has a tin that keeps all his spices in. So when he cooks, he lifts the tin up, and then he uses a little spoon, and then he toasts. Is that like a family thing that people do, like keep a container?
Actually, it was just in my Instagram last week. So it's usually a stainless steel round container, and inside that you have about 8 to 10 small containers, and you open the cover, and you have like your cumin, coriander, garam masala, cinnamon, garlic, onion, peppers, chili powders, cayenne, whatever you need, turmeric, dry spices, whole spices.
It's like a color palette for an artist.
I was just going to say exactly that. It's just like a painter's palette.
Very colorful.
And he always puts it in the oil, and that always reminds me when I'm cooking at home, and I think about it, and I'm like, I want to put some mustard seed in something. And then for us, where it's automatic, you'll just throw it in at the end. No.
Or like the cinnamon stick.
Yeah,
it's like
you throw it in and you fry it a little bit, and that brings out so much more flavor.
Yeah.
But I'm intimidated you know, I see you do it and I think, well, that's the simplest thing in the world. I can do that. But if I'm on my own, I don't know, you know, well, what will the mustard seed do? I don't know mustard seed enough because I'm not from a culture.
Call me. I know. Or it starts to burn. Or,
I'm 1-900-PRASAD. It's a new phone number. We're going live this afternoon.
I think by the time she calls, it's like burn and smoking with alarms going off.
PRASAD, help!
Okay. All right. Let me tell you what's coming up. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to Sri Rao, who is the author of Bollywood Kitchen, where he combines simple Indian flavors and dishes, and then says, here are Bollywood films to watch. And I'm a Bollywood fan, and they're amazing. So I can't wait to get to that. We've had our dreamboat, PRASAD Chirnamula, on the show. And we're going to talk in the next segment about how to order a bottle of wine at a restaurant. Do you get in trouble with this? I do.
I mean,
I really start to get anxiety about this. I usually get handed the wine menu, I look at the six
here.
People at the table, and I think, uh-oh.
Do you always say, why me?
No,
why do
no.
They hand, no, I don't, to yourself. I always say, why are they always handing the wine list to me?
Well,
what are they trying
I'm
to tell
trying
you?
To.
They want you to pay the bill.
No, they want me to pick the wine, and I want tips. I want help.
If you take the lead, you're getting the bill.
Yeah.
Especially when you have
he ordered the wine.
He ordered the wine. Give him the check.
See, maybe that's what it is, babe.
We've got these
and especially when you have 200 wines on the list.
Oh, I know. All right, and we've got these wine broker guys here, these wine experts, and we've got a couple of chefs here. And I'm the wine drinker, and I know a tiny bit about wine, so I'm going to put my two cents in. But we're going to try and see what we can come up with, at least my job, to pull out of you. How do we order a bottle of wine at a restaurant when the menu gets handed to you? So that's coming up. More mouth-watering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We're online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back. I'm Faith Middleton. Just wanted to tell you it's great to have you listening and that you can sign up for a podcast, meaning a copy of the show, and we send it to you in your inbox so you can listen on your schedule. This is the way everybody's doing it now. Just go to our page, foodschmooze.org, and schmooze is spelled S-C-H like school, M-O-O.
Moo.
Like the cow, Z-E. Foodschmooze.org.
That's how Alex learned it.
I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Busberry, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, wine brokers Alex Province and Mark Raymond, PRASAD Chirnamula, who is owner and chef at India,
yeah.
The restaurant at Blueback Square in West Hartford.
Our
is
favorite.
To die for.
It really is.
Okay, now listen, we're going to talk next about how to order a bottle of wine at a restaurant, but I wanted to just add one thing, because coming up we've got this Bollywood book and these recipes and the Bollywood films. Do you know, PRASAD just told me, I didn't know this, that there are Bollywood film screenings on big screens in various places in Connecticut. So that would be Manchester, West Hartford.
Bridgeport. For sure.
All right. So how to order a bottle of wine at a restaurant. The reason I'm bringing up this topic is it can happen to me quite often. People hand me the wine menu because of what I do. And they, too, want help with wines. Yeah. But they don't know that I run into the same kinds of problems
Amen.
That other people do, and chefs do this.
I have
right?
the same trouble.
I think we all do.
Even as wine brokers, you
Absolutely.
Do, right? So here's a scenario. Let's say there are 300 wines on a wine list, and they hand me the wine book, and they say, "Would you pick the wine?" I look around the table, and I'm thinking, "Uh-oh." Now, what would be a price point that they would all like? And so I'm suddenly looking around at faces, and I'm doing a calculation. of, honest to God, really, I do this. How much can this person afford versus this person? How much are they used to spending on a bottle of wine? Then I'm thinking, 300 wines? I don't even have a clue about half of these wines. What year was the good year for this Bordeaux or this? Then I think, what are you all having? I'd like to match the wine as closely as I can to the majority of people. Are you all having, are you having fish, you're having lamb, you're having beef? You're
and
having,
then what do you do if it's all that? If it's all different
I'm,
like
I'm
that, then what do you do?
Well, I'm racing to the rosés, and then people will go, I don't like rosé. So I would like you wine people and chefs to tell me what you do. And you know a lot about wines, Alex and Mark. How do you order a bottle of wine at a restaurant? If you're just a regular person, you're not an expert about this, and you don't want to be embarrassed, but you want to have something that tastes good, what do you do?
There's different kinds of restaurants with different kinds of wine lists. So a wine list that has 300 wines on them will most likely have a sommelier who's working the floor or someone who is responsible for inventorying that wine and keeping track of it and printing the wine list and keeping vintages and selling it. Their job is to come to you and ask these questions, what people are having. And then the hardest part is figuring out with a group of people and with a restaurant like that and a big wine book is how much to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a trick where I put my finger on a price point discreetly and I'll sort of mention to the sommelier or whomever's helping, I'm looking for a wine like this.
And what are you pointing at?
The price.
Point. Yeah. So say $40
so
or $55.
So some of the big, expensive, fancy restaurants can have wines that are like $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah.
Or wines that are $150 or $300. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of reviewed by, you know, people, you know, look at that wine list and say, oh, it's a great wine list because they have all these expensive wines. But the people who are building that wine list are probably drinking $40 and $50 and $60 wines, and they will have them on that list.
So maybe near Wall Street, they have wine lists like this. Okay, so let's just ignore that. This is just regular people. We're regular people, and we're just going in with people, maybe, and we just want to have wine. How are you doing it? So maybe there's no sommelier.
So no 300 wines on a list?
No.
Simple two-page reds, whites, rosés, and sparkling wines, right?
Yeah, perfect.
For me, I think the first thing I do is I take a look at who I'm sitting with, and I say, okay, let's just take all the, you know, the highs and lows, and what does everybody like to drink? Do you like Pinot Grigio? Do you like Chardonnay? Do you like rosé? Do you like Cabernet? I have no problem doing it. Yeah, I get active because you get into a group experience, and you're out to have a good time. Everybody wants to enjoy themselves. If everybody has a different opinion of what they want, then everybody can have a wine by the glass.
Uh-huh.
But if you really want to enjoy it, maybe we're going to start out with some appetizers. So we want to share a bottle of white. So I might suggest, after hearing the opinions of what people like, if they like crisp whites, instead of just having like a classic Pinot Grigio or a Sauvignon Blanc, maybe we look at something like a Chenin Blanc that's a little more interesting.
Now, I think it's so hard for you to step back because you know what it means to have a Chenin Blanc versus a Riesling versus a...
Yep.
So let's
Chardonnay.
Say we're with people who don't even know. They might know slightly. I like crisp whites or they might know I don't like rosé.
If you know nothing about wine whatsoever, but you like food and you're going to a nice restaurant and they have a wine book, two pages, someone at that restaurant bought those wines and knows exactly what's in the book. And in today's day and age, there are no bad wines on people's lists. The industry is just too competitive. There shouldn't be old or bad wines. But someone in the restaurant, if you show even the smallest inkling of wanting help on a wine list, there is someone who's dying to come over and help you, who proudly put those wines on the list. Do you agree with me, Chris? I mean, you certainly have.
I do, but sometimes I don't want that. I get the book, and even though I'm a chef, I get confused sometimes, and I don't want to have this long discussion about what – I like Mark's approach, like asking everybody, but where do you go from there if you don't know? Say you're at a Spanish restaurant and you don't know, and they feature a ton of Spanish wines. Sometimes I don't even know what the grapes are
That's
in
true.
Some of these wines.
That's so true.
How do you even know where to start there if you don't want to get into this long
– But you don't want to have someone come help you.
They hand me the list, we're having fun, and we just want to pick something and go.
Here's one thing I will say. All wine lists will have different price points, and sometimes the best wines are going to be these outliers that are less expensive than the other ones that are have less of a recognizable name. And the only reason they made it on the wine list are because they're really good, or the wine buyer, he or she, really loved it. And all of a sudden you go through and you're like, why is this $45 blank blank here? And it seems out of place. That will often be the probably the best value and the most delicious wine. And if you can get to the person who built it, you can also say, I want to spend like $45. Do you have anything that's like you would buy? What would you buy tonight? And
well, they would always have a do
but
it.
That's a great thing. But would you say that in front of a crowd?
So for price point, that's where I use my finger trick. I'm looking at the book,
and then
point, and I'm like, is this good, or is there something you'd recommend? And I'd have my finger on the 45, something like this, and it sort of points in, like, what would you like that's kind of like this? It's a very discreet way, and then
like
all the person, whomever's helping you, knows that you want to spend $45, you know, help narrows it in.
So they're not saying back there, gee, we've got a lot of blank left over in our stock.
Mm-mm.
Tell them that.
No.
We never have a lot of leftover stock.
So you're going by price point, and Alex, I love your line. What would you drink tonight at this?
And there's other sort of techniques that you can use. So with whites, let's just break it into whites for a second. You have oaked whites that have been in a barrel, and they have a creaminess to them, and like you always describe, Faith, as buttery. And I always think of those when I'm food pairing as butter. So I look at a dish, and I think, if I want a dollop of – would I put a dollop of butter on a chicken? Yeah, I would. And so those are the kind of wines that would pair. Then I think of the other kind of whites are crisp whites. And those, I think, have a higher acidity level. And I think of those as a squeeze of lemon. And then when I do a food pairing, I think, would a squeeze of lemon go well on an oyster?
Those are great tips. See, that's what
and
I'm looking for.
And all of a sudden, the whites are divided into half.
But here's another thing. I was just thinking, Prasad, about you, because depending on what cuisine you're having, I like Greek food. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand Greek wine at all, but when I have certain Greek whites, they're just gorgeous, very, very unusual and beautiful. So I'll go in the Greek restaurant. I go to this place called Hellenic in Greenport, Long Island, and I say to them, "What? I don't know what I'm doing." And I say, "Is this better than this?" They're unpronounceable, first of all.
Yeah.
It's one of those T-X-Y. You know,
a lot of consonants.
Ends with tzatziki or something. So an Indian restaurant, here we go. We're relying on you to know help us with the food pairing.
We typically try to find out what they like. First of all, it also depends on the season of the year. Is it a hot day or a cold day? What kind of food you're eating? And we start with, you know, whether you like a white wine or a red wine. If it's a white wine, we kind of recommend into those semi-sweet Rieslings to go with as a first course.
With your spice.
And you don't mean sweet. You mean floral, right?
Floral, yeah.
Floral.
Fruit forward.
But even a little bit of sugar, like what we would say is sweet if we were having it now, go well with Indian food because of spice.
Yeah.
So something that you might, at
curbs
a dinner party, if you were pouring, you might be like, this Riesling is a little too sweet. In an Indian restaurant, that would pair really nicely with heat because the sugar and the thickness and then the spice, they marry really nicely.
So, see, these are all great tips. Yeah. I needed.
So, Chris,
just invite me. I'll
because, go with because of Prasad's restaurant, India, and I love Indian food so much, I discovered I was eating a dish in a restaurant and I had pre-ordered a Manhattan. I'm trying to perfect a Manhattan.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Look at Prasad's, he just lit up his face.
This is Prasad's favorite cocktail too. So I'm ordering that and then I order this dish and it has all these Indian spices. I'm thinking, I'm going to go to wine next. And I'm sipping this Manhattan, eating the curry, and I'm thinking,
the sweetness,
the smokiness, yeah.
the richness.
It's that
sweet,
sweet corn bourbon with the Indian food.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's Indian flavors, I should say. Oh my God, it's
and
the,
also
the
a
best.
Lot of good buttery chardonnays. They go well. The buttery chardonnays,
like ghee. You're playing off kind of like
exactly
the ghee
like
idea
the
with butter.
Really,
yeah, it does.
One of the toughest things with your food will be spice and red wines, like a Cabernet Sauvignon. Faith, we always talk about like tannins, and tannins are that sensation in your mouth, like you're chewing on an aspirin or a
tea bag.
So those don't pair nicely. nicely with spicy food. They can have kind of like a strange feeling. So going with wines that are soft in tannins,
yes,
and more
fresher,
Pinot Noir, fresher, yeah, Pinot Noir, yeah, or
Tempranillo, Grenache.
Yeah. Soft
Tempranillo that soft doesn't tannins. Have a lot of oak exposure.
Soft tannins for Indian flavors? See, now
for
that's
spices.
Opposite
spices.
Of what I would think. I would think spices are so strong. I need something powerful, muscular, like a Bordeaux or something. And so you're saying, the both of you are saying,
no.
Mark and Alex, no.
So soft. Think of tannins as, remember we say, a cab and a slab. Cab have tannins and a slab of meat. So cabs and tannins love protein.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're eating a big...
But if it's spicy, you want to go more fruity,
spice
sweet.
Is hard with tannins.
Yeah. Yeah, Cabernet is a pretty big seller with us.
Well, Americans like Cabernet.
Period. It doesn't matter where you're drinking.
But texture is also amazing, because if I'm having Indian flavors, I love how the sparkling wines cut the...
Yeah,
the acidity.
Cut something in the spices, and so I start wanting Proseccos or champagne or...
Or an IPA. Or a good idea.
Yeah, beer.
Okay.
A good beer, yeah.
All right.
You know, and another quick tip, though, is restaurants will always have a server that if you sort of mention and don't come across as a know-it-all, because the servers will oftentimes come over and pour you a little taste of something.
Sure, yeah.
So they'll say, well, why don't you try this and this?
What
and,
do you think?
I don't like it. And just ask you. We're human beings just ordering wine, as Mark says.
Hey, and, you know, don't be afraid to say, I always say this, excuse me, how much is this a glass?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
don't be afraid.
I know that restaurants, it's tough to have a restaurant, and there's a certain amount of upselling, and I don't want to pay $17 or $20 for a glass of wine.
Sure.
I'll have that wine at home, and it will be less money. I can't afford to live like that. So I'll say, how much is this by the glass?
And Chris always teases me, but there are 4 glasses in a bottle. So if you're with, honestly, if you're with 4 people.
I thought there were 6.
No, they're four.
Four six-ounce glasses.
So if you're with 4 people,
you
and
might
you
have
look
a bigger
at a bottle,
bottle.
Divide it by 4, and that's your glass cost.
Or a smaller glass.
It's cheaper to buy a whole bottle.
It is cheaper. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I wish we could talk more about this, because your expertise is unbelievable. Coming up, we have Bollywood Kitchen, the cookbook, and the Bollywood film thing. It's all paired together. It is really something. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers. We're ready to party with you online all the time at foodschmooze.org here on Connecticut Public Radio at the Big G, Gateway Community College. We'll be right back. This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, the Hamptons, of course. Senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken, and to hear this show on Connecticut Public Radio, it airs Thursdays at 3 and 9 p.m., and then Saturdays at noon, and we have our podcasts. And what a crowd. It's always exciting, but I'm especially excited for this, because this is a cookbook that will also be loved by people who like a certain kind of film. And I'm talking about the whole Bollywood craze that is probably, we're all doing that dance in the studio. It's probably the biggest film craze in the world. So this cookbook is called Bollywood Kitchen, home-cooked Indian meals in this book that are paired with Bollywood films. So if you want to get to know people and culture from all the parts of India, this is the most wonderful way to do it, because the music is fabulous. The stories are usually so good. The people are beautiful. It's just the best. So we have the author of the book, Sri Rao, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, me too. So, you know, we're with Prasad Chirnamula of the restaurant India in West Hartford. He's like a knockout Indian chef. And so he made us something, and we were also eating something from your book all together. It was the most fun. So can we start with explaining to people who might not know what the whole Bollywood thing is about?
So Bollywood is the nickname given to the Indian film industry, the Hindi language film industry, and it gets its nickname from Hollywood in Bombay. So Bombay plus Hollywood equals Bollywood. Bombay being the capital of the Hindi language film industry, now known as Mumbai. This is the largest film industry in the world. They sell twice as many tickets worldwide as Hollywood. They're incredibly popular, not just in India, but in all parts of the world, like Great Britain and the Middle East and Southeast Asia, and increasingly so here in the United States as well.
At my house.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, because the movies are now available on Netflix and Amazon and iTunes, so they're really becoming much more popular and easy for people to watch with subtitles.
Yeah, Sri, and these recipes are, you know, sometimes Indian recipes, if you do them well, like a lot of other cultures, you know, like the French, and it can take a long time because you're toasting spices and then crushing them and doing...
That's right.
This is very approachable, I have to say.
Yeah, the way that I cook at home and the way that a lot of Indian American families, particularly second generation Indian American families like myself, the way that we cook at home is much more accessible and easy because, frankly, we don't have time to do all of those complicated steps of toasting spices and bringing out the pressure cooker and grinding things in the way that my grandmother and aunts used to do it back in India. So, you know, the way that we do it now is by using ingredients that are readily accessible in your local supermarket. And chances are you probably already have most of what you need to make about 75% of the recipes in my book.
Now, I opened the book to a particular page, and here is a picture of the actor Shah Rukh Khan.
Yes, the megastar Shah Rukh Khan.
You're right. So I look at Prasad and I said, even I know him.
Every fourth or fifth person in the world probably knows him, right, Sri?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he is probably the most famous actor in the world in terms of sheer number of fans.
Isn't this amazing?
Bollywood actors
are huge.
And now these days, I mean, you're seeing them pop up on entertainment reports here in America, like on the Time 100 Most Influential People in the World. There are several Bollywood stars on that list. There's a woman named Priyanka Chopra who has crossed over to America. She's the star of the show Quantico on ABC. She's a huge Bollywood star. So increasingly so, people here in America are becoming aware of Bollywood and Bollywood stars.
Who's the woman actress Punjabi who...
No. Archie Punjabi, you mean from The Good Wife?
Archie Punjabi.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. I was just berserk over her. I just thought, where have you been?
She's a British actress, and she sort of was discovered in that movie Bend It Like Beckham, which was a British movie that then turned into a musical. And I think this is all an example of, as our country becomes more diverse, we are looking for representation of characters and actors of all different colors and all different backgrounds. And so you're seeing a lot more Indian folks pop up on your TV screen or on movie screens.
So I'll tell you in a minute about the movie that is considered one of these Bollywood films, and I think was the very first one to cross over into American culture and American art houses. And it was the first one I saw. And it's one of my favorite movies to this day. We're going to come back to that because I feel like, oh, my goodness, I haven't even talked about one recipe. So Chris Prosperi, we asked him to make your Bali burgers.
Oh, wow, great.
Oh, my goodness.
Yum.
With
so
a
delicious
mango salsa. So if you think big, fat, delicious burger, but has a kind of tender inside because of all these gorgeous flavors and spices, and of course it's cooking, and then this beautiful cooling of the mango stuff. Okay, Chris, tell me how difficult was it?
Well, first, like he said, I didn't have to go buy anything. I was like, it's a Bollywood book. I'm going to have to go to the Indian market. When I got the recipe, I'm like, no, I got all this.
So can we just
run through it.
So it's ground chuck and onion and cilantro, minced garlic, minced ginger, salt, coriander, chili powder, or you could use cayenne.
That's what I used.
Ground cinnamon.
Got that.
Cloves.
Got that.
And then to make the salsa, and this is a salsa that I make too.
Oh, it's heaven.
And I put it on swordfish. chopped up tomatoes and onion, a little bit of mint, a little bit of chili pepper, some lime juice, mango, either fresh or frozen, chop it up, and you mix it all together, and it goes on top of the hamburger.
All I can say is I didn't make enough mango salsa. You should triple the recipe because you're going to eat, like, most of it before the burgers even hit the pan.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, you did a great job with this recipe. And thank you, Sri, for allowing us to take three of the recipes and put them up on the website for our people.
We've got a
whole thing about your book there, too, because we want them to get as excited about this world as we are. And so this Bali burger recipe is up there at foodschmooze.org.
I want to have a Bollywood night now with friends, right? I got a big screen TV. I'm going to rent a couple Bollywood movies and then do food like this. Yeah. I think it'd be a blast.
All right. Can we go to one recipe before? Because, listen. This is what I would serve at my Bollywood party. Masala crusted salmon. So imagine a strip.
That's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, thick strip of salmon that has had all these spices on it. It gets a little blackened from being against the heat. So simple. You're mixing together in a bowl paprika, cumin, coriander, tiny bit of brown sugar, chili powder, salt, turmeric, and lemon zest. And then you just rub this blend all over the fish, nonstick skillet, put some oil in it, and boom, into the pan it goes. And then it gets this, like, blackened crust on it, but it's tender. It's moist inside. We
so
have
good.
This on the website, too.
Talk
because
about it.
I hope that you made a mint chutney to drizzle on top of it, because that really sort of sealed the deal with that.
I didn't.
Kind of gives it a cooling
next
effect.
Time.
And I
didn't make that, but I'm going to now that you're telling
it's
me.
It's so easy. You just throw it together in a blender. It says yogurt and some mint and cilantro and some spices. It's a no-cook chutney that is really simple and delicious on that salmon.
Okay. So the movie that I saw, the Bollywood film that crossed over and made me just go nuts over this director, is Meera Nair's Monsoon Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lovely movie.
I would encourage anyone listening to rent this movie. First of all, the opening credits, dazzling. The color in the movie is just, as usual, so amazing. And then the story itself, it's just so beautiful and deep and has troubling stuff in it. Also, the greatest love and, you know, it's about loyalty. It's just fabulous. Monsoon Wedding.
Writing it down.
Yep. Okay. So the actress who is probably, is she Khan's equal as the star of Everyone Knew Her? She's just died, and that is Sridevi.
Sridevi.
Yes, she was, unfortunately, we have to use past tense now, she was a superstar of the 80s and 90s and continued to be a major force in Bollywood cinema and in India in general because she was beloved by hundreds of millions of fans literally all over the world. When she passed away, it was headline news on CNN and in the New York Times, in addition to of course India being captivated and really struck with grief over her death.
Prasad set me straight because I thought it was a typo because they said she was 54 years old and when she passed away recently, and she had 50 years of film experience. I'm like, that must be a typo because that would have meant she started at 4. And Prasad was like, yeah, she did. She started at 4.
So you have all seen her. And I think, Sri, you describe her as being that person who in her youth was the curvaceous, beautiful, you know, sexy dancer.
She's absolutely amazing. I mean, she was the idol for so many people. And she's my age. I'm 54, so I grew up with her, literally. Watching her on the screen from those young days of movies into, I mean, any movie.
Teenage
she
crush.
Did. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
isn't that something?
Biggest crush.
Okay, so we're talking with Sri Rao, and it's S-R-I, Rao, R-A-O. The book is called Bollywood Kitchen, and he has done a kind of a genius thing as far as I'm concerned, where he has matched up very accessible Indian recipes with Bollywood films, and we're advocating a Bollywood party is what we're doing.
Chris and I'll cook.
Yeah.
Yes, and we'll keep
film fest.
Our hands
so
in the air.
I'll bring wine.
And I'll keep our hands in the
I will Prasad walk
is
hundreds
quite the
of miles
I've seen
to
it know? Online.
Sri Rao, you have to come to that party if we have that party.
I would love to be there.
Okay.
And I also want to say on the topic of Sri Devi before we move on, one of her films is featured in my book, and mm-hmm. it was actually her big comeback movie. She left film for about 15 years to become a wife and a mother, and then she came back to make one little film called English Vinglish, which yeah. is such a delightful movie. And if you loved Monsoon Wedding, for example, if you like those kinds of, you know, indie gems of films, English Vinglish is one to definitely check out. It's available on Amazon. She came back to cinema in full force and showed everyone why she was the reigning queen of Bollywood for so many decades.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So cool.
I will see that one next. So there's a recipe that we're also featuring on the site from your book because we liked it so much. And it's called, you should see the photographs with these, by the way. So really do go to foodschmooze.org. Chicken korma, which is a dish that people will know from their experiences with what I would call Indian American restaurants. This is a lot simpler. And
healthier, I want to add that as well. Yeah.
So Greek yogurt, garlic, ginger, red chili powder, coriander, cinnamon, cloves, turmeric. You keep hearing the same kinds of spices coming up in the same, you know,
That's
in
right.
the recipes. Mm-hmm. And yet there'll be one outlier that kind of switches it up, right?
And every dish has a little twist on it. Like, for example, in the case of the korma sauce, the thick yogurt, the creamy yogurt sauce, is accentuated with raisins and sliced almonds. So the almonds give it an extra layer of richness, and the raisins give it a little pop of sweetness. Mm. And so that really transforms and makes this dish taste entirely different from all the other dishes in the book.
Yeah. When we say here, if we've never been to India, you know, Indian flavors or India, it sounds like it's one little small place. And of course, there are, you know, just like the United States, these giant regions, and the foods from all the regions, just like in the United States, are very different from the other regions. Prasad, you said some people's names in certain regions are unpronounceable to you.
Very difficult, like Kerala especially.
Yeah.
Right.
This is such a great walkthrough. These, you know, movies, when you watch them, you're seeing the heart of people in a very intimate way from a particular region. The storyteller is reflecting something from a place, and so it's such a great way to know a culture, is this thing you've put together, Sri. I really love it.
I'm really glad to hear that. And in regard to the diversity of India, that's absolutely true. All the different regions are very different from one another. The languages are different. You cross a state line and they're speaking a completely different language that you don't understand. But the thing that I'm trying to present in my book, though, is the idea that now here in America, for second generation Indian Americans, there are certain things that are sort of tying us all together. You know, I was born here in Pennsylvania and I've spent my whole life in America. And for those of us that were born here, we're not necessarily as concerned about where our parents came from in India. We're not as concerned as they were, for example, especially because as we're getting older, we're marrying people who are from different regions of India, who are in many cases not even Indian. As a result of that, we're now able to sort of pick and choose the best parts of India from all the different regions of India and choose the parts that make sense to us and the foods that work for our American kitchens and the ones that we like the best. So in my book, you'll find that there are Punjabi dishes from North India, there are South Indian dishes, there are dishes that are more sort of fusion, that are using American ingredients like the Bali burger that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's really exciting, is that now we're seeing a lot of those regional barriers break down, and we're just sort of carrying forward the best of the best from India.
It's like your own kind of fusion.
For me, my mom always comes first when I start looking at food or thinking about food or whatever. So I kind of still like to go back to the roots and, you know, do that. But also I do agree with Sri looking at the regional cuisine, whether it's Punjabi cuisine, or Southern Indian cuisine, Gujarati cuisine, Kashmiri cuisine, there's so many foods you can do from India. You can go all over in India, and you probably can come up with a million recipes.
Oh, my God. I have loved this conversation, really loved
me
it.
Too.
So this is Sri Rao, and his book is called Bollywood Kitchen, and it is a pleasure. And it is, oh, my God, so delicious.
Great
we were just
book.
Eating this stuff. Thanks, Sri. And don't forget, we're going to do a Bollywood party, and we want you to come.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for enjoying the films and enjoying the recipes.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3 and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, I hope you'll listen for my 60-second food schmoozes. Never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little more party in your life, we're here online at foodschmooze.org. And we hope you'll talk with us on Facebook. We're at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze.